Hey, y'all. Adam's audio is like super blown out in this episode. I did my best to fix it, but it was kind of just how it was. I don't know why he's incapable of doing things correctly, and I'm very sorry about it. Anyway, here you go. So I do appreciate that just last week, we had a whole fucking preamble about how I don't want to do timestamps. This show is for us and blah, 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 blah. And then fucking Spotify podcast decides it wants to start playing with AI timestamps.
Oh, hell yeah. I love them.
AI chapter auto generation. It only goes as far back as this current season. So it starts with the overview episode as far as last time I checked.
Yeah, it's still there.
But that's it. I think it's fucking hilarious. Hilarious.
Yes.
That we had that, like, we're making this hard line stance. And then in the exact same episode, we're making a hard line stance about fucking timestamps.
Yeah.
People who are listening on Spotify are just like, but there's timestamps right here, but they're AI generated. I didn't ask for this. I didn't approve this. They just did it.
Yeah, I love the titles. AI. I fucking love them.
The titles are really funny. I think I was actually going to go over a few of them.
Oh, yeah. You know, fucking Death of the Bachelor overview of which of your kids knows Skibidi Toilet.
That was one of the ones that I was gonna bring up. Which of your kids knows Skibidi Toilet?
Yeah. Which I think is just something all parents should ask.
Yeah, which of your kids? It's like it's 9 p.m. Yeah, do you know where your kids are listening to Skibidi Toilet? Like one of those. I do love down towards the bottom of the overview, there's a chapter that says Panic of the Disco Tracks.
Very good.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Yes.
Let's see. What else? I have the podcast
picture. Oh, yeah. Victorious is remarkably short.
Yeah, there's only four chapters. Intro, WrestleMania, Messages, Ronnie Radke, Victorious, Credits, Outro. That's all of Victorious's chapters. I love it. I do appreciate that one of the chapters on Don't Threaten Me With a Good Time is Adam and Sam's AI-generated podcast, given what we're talking about right now. That's pretty good.
Love it.
I also love Brandon Urey, Y-U-R-I. Brandon Urey's To the Metal. That's a great
yes.
One. Adam's thoughts on the song.
On the song. All right.
The last chapter, that one is Party Life.
My favorite from Hallelujah is the simple 30 second, which is actually like a 5 second fucking event of OJ Simpson's death.
Yeah. Like it was like right at the tail end. Like I just said, also OJ Simpson's dead. And then the episode started and that's all it was. But they made a whole chapter.
Hell yeah.
Which is great. I also love the right before that is WrestleMania.
Yes.
Silent Wolf's Hallelujah. I don't know what that's about.
Adam's thoughts on the song Still Standing.
what's going on? Shorty Award. Yeah, that's I haven't looked at Emperor's New Clothes yet. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Gascoigne Peas is the first one.
P-E-A-S.
Yeah, P-E-A-S. It's P-E-E-S. I do love I'd Like to Be Anywhere Else. Yeah, that's good.
I like how in the middle chapter is the upcoming episode of the pod.
Yeah, what does that even mean? I love Brandon's open letter to the fans. Anytime it picks up Brendan's name, it says Brandon. So I'm curious to see. Let's go, Brandon. I'm curious to see what it does for that, if it does anything. So that's kind of what's happening now. We've got AI generated chapter titles. We've got AI generated transcripts that are. Yeah. So it's really just like there's a lot of just stuff happening with this podcast that is being taken out of our hands. I didn't do this. I didn't want this.
No, we didn't ask for this.
If
anything, we vehemently tried to deny it.
Yeah, for many, many, many year. So
yeah. Yeah. What a show.
What a show. I did want to bring up. Yeah. I did want to bring up, so back in February, I had like that big rant about like black people doing music that isn't like hip hop rap, like doing like rock music and like emo music, and how that's really cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I had a rant about that, and I used the artist Jiraiya as like the big like focus point of that. So I was talking about Risk, 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 and that time I was talking about his song Pinai. And those were singles. And on April 19th, the full album dropped. Trust Ceremony, the album is called. What a banger of an album.
That's crazy.
Yeah, to me, it's one of those, it like varies quickly becoming All Killer, No Filler for me. Like just not the album All Killer, No Filler, but like the concept of an album that has just tracks that you don't want to skip.
Yeah.
But the whole album is really good. Fire for Fun is really good. Risk, 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 Collarbone, Pin Eye, those three are really great. I love Eat Your Friends. Control Baby is like a really good one, but it's like, oh man, holy shit. Trust Ceremony, which is the final track, same title as the album, is
special.
It might be one of my favorite songs like ever. Yeah. The first time I listened to it, I was like, I started like soft crying listening to that song, because it felt like very like I saw myself in it, which is insane. It's just like the story about like this person who you know sees their potential and what they could be, and is upset and upset about not being there and daydreaming about being there, to the point where they've kind of like abandoned their current life and are obsessed with becoming this person, even though it's like not necessarily a healthy way to go about it.
Right.
It's very, very, very good. The last section of the song has this really like poignant like close, and it's like set to like this, like they've got like this drum beat behind it. I might actually put like a clip of it here, just so you can hear it, because it's very good.
Oh, for sure.
If I did that, the line is, you seem so far away, somewhere beyond your next life. No one can make you stay. I just hope you smile in this one.
Yeah.
And that fucking ripped me apart.
Yeah,
it breaks. Like the whole song, but like just because it just like repeats it. It just repeats it over and over again in like this kind of like distorted, distant voice. And then it comes in with one more at the end. And it's very clear and like direct. And it just feels very like powerful. So I highly recommend this album, especially that song, but the whole album is just a complete banger.
Well, I think
please go listen to that album.
Yeah, like I said, I did, and like I don't mean this disrespectfully at all. Like it feels like
no,
like it feels like a bunch of anime intros. Like a lot of the songs,
yes!
Like
yeah.
have this very fucking fast paced, like in your fucking face, not giving you a second of like breathing time. And you know, that's great. Yeah. Like they are all so fun. And then I'm not disappointed that I listened to Trust Ceremony separately, you know, because of course you recommended it to me. And then I feel like, you know, in a way that some of these later Panic of the Disco albums do, like it is a payoff song. Like it is, yeah. It is a tribute almost to you, the listener, from an artist, because they know that you in some way resonate with like the words of the song. And like, yeah. It's a weird comparison because listening to Trust Ceremony separate from everything, like I did that first time, it's like, this feels like pretty odd in a pretty odd kind of way.
Sure.
And then, like I listened to the rest of the album and it's like, this is even better than that. Like this is elevated. This is elevated emotion.
It is a spectacular album. And it feels like, and it's a very, personal album too. Because there's one where he like sings about, or he like reads like this, like what I imagine is an email about like his attitude and people, and like somebody who didn't want to work with him because like he didn't feel like he was paying him enough respect or something like that.
Right.
That song I mentioned, Control Baby, is like really, really intense because it's like he's singing about like his upbringing. Had I not been so easy on you, there'd be time to rectify you. Come back home when you have some sense. You can throw your life away, just not at my expense. You're not the son I raised. Save the son I discipline and praise for the one who disobeyed me. Like, holy fuck. That's intense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so please do yourself a favor and listen to Trust Ceremony. It is a special album.
Yeah.
It's very good. That's all I wanted to say. Should we talk about the Panic at the Disco now? You want to do that?
Yeah, I guess we can do what we're here to do.
Okay. Okay, fine.
I've put zero thought into anything, surprisingly.
How is that different from any other time?
It's very true. Welcome to Adam and Sam at the Disco. We're married, these hosts, but this week is the death of bachelors and being single for people.
Yeah, that's been dead for a long time.
You know, it's only been almost 9 years for me. But
yeah, you we're coming up on a year here in like 5 days.
Yeah, our wives. So you know, I guess we'll do some speed dating here if you want to come in and find your next lover, and I don't know. Just take a seat, goddammit, and don't forget to close the goddamn door. I'm Adam.
You tried so hard. You really did. Normally I'd make fun of you, but I feel bad. I made you wait an extra hour and like a half for recording. I feel bad. I feel like you tried very hard. And I respect that. I'm Sam.
Yeah.
We're here.
Yeah. I guess nobody can expect what song we're talking about though.
No, absolutely not. I mean, we do tell them which song we're listening to on the previous episode. Also, we do them in sequence, so it's pretty easy to tell based on what the last episode is, and we title the episodes the title of the song. Plus, your sterling introduction really, really helped guide us there. So if they hadn't figured it out by now, then I have a lot of questions.
If they haven't figured it out now,
your
the Spotify chapters will tell them.
yeah, emotional state at the moment. So
the emotional state of I am leaving for Vegas in, you know, 17 hours almost, and we have fuck all done aside from my vacuumed.
Well, yeah, but I meant like
just as a whole.
I meant like as the listener. If they haven't figured out what we're talking about today, that's on them.
Yeah. That's just my
today,
emotional state though.
Sure. We are listening to the fifth song on the album Death of a Bachelor, Death of a Bachelor. Did you say vacuum?
Yeah, I vacuumed. We had to vacuum anyways, regardless. But my mother-in-law is staying over with the kids, and she's gonna stay in our bedroom, so I had to vacuum.
Gotcha. What? Oh,
okay. Yeah.
I guess.
And last night we had we had tornado sirens at about 6:30. Real fun stuff.
Real fun stuff.
Wow. It did that for like 2 minutes straight. I guess it happened like miles north of the town that we live in, but you know they did the sirens, and it stayed that very eerie yellow green hue that the sky can do during storms.
In the eye of a hurricane.
Yes.
There is quiet for just a moment. A yellow sky.
Yep, very good. Thanks, Mufasa, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah, what? Okay.
Oh, have
there,
you not,
the did trailer? You not did you watch the trailer for Mufasa the Lion King?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
And Barry Jenkins is out here saying it's not soulless. It's soulless.
Okay, I have not watched the trailer because I don't care.
No.
But that's why I was confused. Is this the Lin-Manuel Miranda joint?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Mufasa.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Oh,
what a treat we're all in for here.
Oh, listen. Okay, I'm going to say something.
Say it.
And I don't know at this point in the year of our Lord 2024. Anno Domine, if this is a hot take or a cold take anymore. Nah. I truly have zero clue. What I will say is that I think that people are too hard on Lin-Manuel Miranda. I like him, and I think that whenever he does music for things, it's usually good.
Sure.
And that's my take. Again, the internet likes to make fun of Lin, and I don't know if this, like I said, I don't know if this is a hot take or a cold take in 2024, yeah. But it is my take, and I'm going to stand by it.
Well, I feel like it's a hot take, and it's, you know, I don't disagree with it. I, you know, big Hamilton fan, and there's no denying that, and I'm not going to, and I'm going to wear it on my sleeve. And I know that he's done more than that, but Hamilton is quite large and big and enjoyed by all.
It is the reason why people really, really, really know him.
Yeah,
these days
it's a
he was gravitated to him. Yeah, In the Heights was pretty popular at the time, but Hamilton fucking knocked him into the stratosphere. So
you know the End of the Heights. Film adaptation that they put on HBO, and it's a one-timer for me, and it's not that the music was bad. I think it's just that kind of the story in between is not something I cared for, but I do recall the music being incredibly fun.
No, the music is great. Lights up on Washington Heights up at the break of day. Yeah, I love the Heights. It's great. The song's good.
Yes.
Anyway, enough about Lin-Manuel Miranda. What are we even doing? This isn't
from one egotistical creator to the other.
Yeah. We don't have any new comments on Spotify that I am aware of. What we do have, yeah, you have a single vote. You do for dumbest on Empress New Clothes. Still no votes on Hallelujah, which is very strange to me. The population just kind of skipped over Hallelujah.
I mean, Dennis Wakeman was there for a comment, but no vote, you know.
Yeah, no vote. That's fine. That's fine. You do have two votes on Don't Threaten Me With a Good Time. I have one vote on that one.
Sure.
And then the most recent one, Victorious is Closed. We tied 50-50 with one apiece. So those are the most recent vote results for who was dumbest.
Fantastic.
But that means we can just sort of move along.
Yeah.
And we shall. Death of a Bachelor is a song by American solo project Panic at the Disco from the solo project's fifth studio album of the same name.
Sounds like bullshit.
The song premiered during an Apple Music broadcast hosted by good old Peter Wenceslas on September 1st, 2015. The music video was uploaded to the Fueled by Ramen channel on December 24th, Christmas Eve, 2015. And it was sent to alternative hot adult contemporary pop radio as the album's fourth and final single. The cover, the album art is literally just Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, I don't like it.
It's very strange. But I've got kind things to say about this song. A couple of weird things, but I've got kind things to say about this song. Like, it's just like, it does, I will say, before we get into it, this is the pre, what do you think about the song? What do you think about the song? Uh-huh. He put Frank Sinatra on the single cover, and it invokes a vibe very clearly. If you look at it, you're just like, oh, this is a statement. And I'm not entirely sure it's wrong.
No. And I know that we gave a lot of bullshit to that quote, but you know, this is the only one that has this kind of vibe.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know this. The introduction features a sample of Getting It In by Jadakiss. Wow.
Stubbing it all in.
No, didn't realize that. Yeah. That's the wrong. That is the wrong song. vocalist Brandon Urion Ice stated, Frank Sinatra, I think we read this quote in the overview, but
it's worth doing again.
Frank Sinatra turns 100 this year. I attach his music to so many memories. Opening presents on Christmas Day, my grandparents teaching the rest of the family to swing dance, watching Who Framed Roger Rabbit with my siblings. Sinatra makes a cameo in the form of cartoon swords singing witchcraft. Yep. His music has been a major player in the soundtrack of my life, so it's only right that I return the favor and or pay it forward. I wrote a new album this year, and even in the few songs that don't sound remotely similar to any of his music, I still felt his influence in the writing and the need to relate so personally to each song. Death of a Bachelor is very important to me. It expresses the bittersweet but mostly sweet end of an era. A look back at part of my life now deceased. And it's a wonderful life-esque look into a possibly different future, but mostly an appreciation for the present. The song's sound has been described as EDM, jazz. Oh, nope. That's not part of the quote. We'll get back there. Uri also stated in an interview with Upset Magazine that he feels the song is very jazzy, very Sinatra-esque, but then put it with this beat that sounds like Beyonce's Drunken Love. We also went over that one.
Yes.
Weird pull. I don't hear it, but I do. The contrast is interesting. We'll get into more thoughts later.
Right. We will. It's what we're here for.
We will. Let's see.
Brandon Urie performed the song on Good Morning America on October 20th, 2016, along with L.A. Devotee on the L.A. DeGeneres on the Ellen DeGeneres show. What a time. On February 9th, 2017.
We didn't need that, but I appreciate it.
We all need the popularity of Ellen DeGeneres in our lives.
Panic singer-songer Brendan Urie told Pete Wentz that the song is autobiographical and refers to Urie's own marriage to Sarah Orzechowski, which began in 2013. When asked about the meaning behind the song, Urie explained, I would say the title track Death of a Bachelor is pretty much why I called the album that. It just really meant a lot to me. I mean, that kind of summed up how I feel now. I feel I am a new person, and I am able to talk about the past because I'm not that person anymore. It's nice to be able to set aside the past and look at it objectively instead of being stuck in that world. So that was really an eye-opening experience for me.
Really, really eye-opening.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a basic explanation of a fairly, I don't mean this harshly, a fairly basic song.
Okay. this is the only verified Genius annotation on the lyrics page, but it just says, click here to read Panic at the Disco story about death of a bachelor.
Yep, it's our same quote.
Yeah, it says, a lot of Too Weird to Live was written and produced on a computer. For Death of a Bachelor, I wanted to get back to writing on real instruments like piano. I have this gorgeous piano in my house, the Urie Electric Studios. Added that in. When I played around on it, it felt loungy, like everybody would be sipping martinis and lighting up a cigarette. So I wanted to do like a lounge album, and also Queen stuff. Queen harmonies meets Sinatra style. Don't Stop Me Now meets World on a String. Those two way different worlds. I love Sinatra, the crooning, the suave nature, the swagger, and then Queen just brings in rambunctious parts and crazy harmonies and stacking.
Stacking.
And all that stuff. There goes the stacking.
Man loves the stack. Should work at a fucking IHOP.
Yeah. A little short stack hot time.
Yes.
It peaked at the 92 position at Billboard Hot 100 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 and peaked at 11 on the U.S. Hot Rock and Alternative Songs for Billboard. And at the end of 2016, it ended up at position 31 for the U.S. Hot Rock Songs. In Canada, Music Canada, it certified platinum with 80,000 units. In Denmark, the IFPI Denmark, it certified gold with 45,000 units. The BPI in the United Kingdom certified gold with 400,000 units. And the United States, RIAA, the RIAA, three times platinum, 3 million units.
Triple plat.
Triple plat. Triple plat. Triple plat. Adam, do you want to read the credits this time?
I'll read the credits.
And I'll do the categories. Okay.
The categories. We have a producer of Jake Sinclair. Writers, Boyd.
Boyd.
Jake Sinclair. It's been a while since you've had that side, so I figured I'd give you a moment.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Jake Sinclair and Lauren Pritchard. Vocals.
Lolo.
What? Background vocals, Susie Shin. Keyboards, Boyd.
What?
Lloyd. Label.
Lloyd.
Lloyd. Full by Rama, Atlantic Records, and DCD2. Bass, Boyd.
What?
Trumpet, Tony Kavlik. Drums, Boyd.
Boyd.
Guitar, Boyd.
Boyd.
Oh, hello. Release date of December 24th, 2015. Death of a Bachelor samples The Facade by Melba Moore. Songs. Oh, this was a good one. Songs that interpolate.
There you go. There
you go. Death of a Bachelor. Google Translate sings Death of a by Twisted Translations. Fantastic. And Woke Up in Japan by 5 Seconds of Summer?
What?
What the fuck?
Huh?
That's fucking... All right.
I actually have to look that one up. That's
apparently we know what we're doing after this episode. Covers. There's a lot of them. We're playing none of them. Death of a Bachelor by Nate Wants to Battle. Dennis Van Arsen. Cave Town. Operacion Triunfa. That was fucked. Featuring Flavio Fernandez. Fernandez.
I was just waiting for you to fucking say Fernandez.
I love it.
Alright, proceed.
Hearing Shapes. Brittany Butler, Rumi featuring Roll Up Hills, Doty, and then Chloe Moriando. And then Doty. And then, of course.
Cool. Also, I've straight up thought you were going to say roll of fills.
No, I about fucking.
I looked at it. I was like, that man's going to say roll of fills. I know it.
Took me a long.
So you really defied expectation.
Yeah,
yeah, defied expectations there.
We've got a lot of translations this time. You've got
a lot of Portuguese
translation.
Of course,
you've got the Espanol, Farsi. And then the Farsi translation. That's fun. Wow. People really internationally known Death of a Bachelor.
Yeah, three different languages this time instead of just Portuguese. Mr. Worldwide. Crazy. Mr. Worldwide. Tags, R&B, pop, synth pop, USA.
Fucking America.
In English. Future bass.
Wow.
Trap, swing, and jazz. Trap. I wonder what future bass is.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Rizzler by Jelly House. Okay, great. So. Death by Melanie Martinez. Closer by the Chainsmokers. To give you V3005 by Childish Gambino. The Middle by Zed, Maren Morris, and Gray. So just to give you some ideas. Take Care by Drake, who was just bodied by
On a fucking Tuesday.
Holy, on a fucking random ass Tuesday at fucking 11 in the morning.
For you.
People are at work.
For you, the day that Kendrick Lamar made a diss track, it was Tuesday, the best day of your life. For me, it was Tuesday. So good. Glad I could bumblefuck my way through that.
Yeah, you tried. Again, you tried.
I tried.
Also, Wikipedia's genres listed as EDM, jazz, pop, R&B, soul, swing, synth pop, and also trap. So there's a lot of trap.
Is it? It's the moment we'll get to that we discussed the other day. It's that moment.
Well, I don't even think it's that. I think people just hear heavy, like oversaturated bass and just get really excited about it and call it like a specific type, even though it's not accurate.
Sure.
Adam.
Yeah.
We have a song.
Oh, I. I love a lot of this song, and I have.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of that comes from the fact that this song came out the year we got married. Like, given it came out at the fucking end, but rest assured, like, it was there. And I think it was kind of like a neat little fucking thing, like, for timing to align like that. But... it is short and sweet, as it should be. You know, it's called Death of a Bachelor. And, like, it's the fun side of Death of a Bachelor, right? Like, there's a song called Death of a Bachelor. There's not. That is, like, I fucking hate my wife. I don't want to be here. I beat my kids all the time. Like, there's, like, this could have been that. Like, I just want to fucking... that could have... I'm just going to stop there. You know, like, there's a negative side of this kind of title.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that this didn't take that route. And I think, like, it's a very sweet song. And like you said, like, none of these annotations have been verified. And, of course, all of them have to do with fucking Sarah Orzechowski. So that's fun. Like, we all know the story there. Like, we know the Sarah Smiles thing. Like, I think this is kind of a good victory lap for that. But it being so short and sweet, like two verses and this, you know, the same kind of chorus, of course, or should I have said, of chorus, and then the fucking disgust.
Shut the fuck up. Oh my God. I hate you. I hate you so much.
And then.
A lot, actually.
There is.
Holy shit, dude.
That little disgusting thing.
No, I don't even want to bring it up we'll get right to. Now. We can talk about it. And, we can talk about it later. Yeah. I just,
Because, and I have, a hot take about that when we get to it, but. You know, I'm high on this song. Like, I really am. Like, it's a fun little bop. Like, it's a fucking boppy song. This is the boppiest of bops that you could fucking get from part of this album. How do you feel about this song?
I feel generally the same. I think it's one of those, it feels, it's a simple song.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I think that's fine. I think it's a good song. I think that the croony, like Rat Pack vibe combined with the bass and like the more like techno-y EDM sounds.
Yeah.
I think works incredibly well.
Definitely.
It is high key, a sway side to side, like snap your fingers type of song. It is a really good song that I think is let down by the part that we are going to talk about later.
Uh-huh.
I think it's just slightly too empty. I think it needed like one more. It really needed a really, really punchy bridge to like really fulfill its potential. It is a good song that does not fill its complete potential, I think.
Right. Yeah, and I'm glad that you brought up the crooning part, because like that's what makes this song what it is. And I think if I had to be all encompassing of this album with this being the titular track, like this, you almost expect this vibe from everything, and that's not what you get. And I don't want to sound jaded by that, but I kind of am. Like, I feel like if the rest of the album had been something like this, like, he would have lived up to his own expectation, right, of being this Frank Sinatra drunken love kind of thing. And this is it. Like, this is the only one that actually executes that intention. So, like, you know, it's not bad that it's just this one, but I truly do wish that it was more. And I think, like, it's such a weird shift coming off of last week with Emperor's New Clothes to this. Like, that's kind of fucking odd. Pretty fucking odd.
Yeah, it is very strange. I
don't know if Brendan Urie knows how to order an album. Like, you know, you've got A Fever You Can't Sweat Out, where a few of those very clearly bleed into each other, like, bleed into each other with their crossover, and then Pretty Odd had a few, but, like, kind of ever since then, and unless he actually deliberately did it with that kind of, like, bleed over of sound, I don't feel like he can do track to track. And I think that's like, I think that can only be solidified. And I'm going to sound like an asshole saying that my statement is solid, but like, I think that's solidified by the fact that so many of these songs became singles because they're not a part of anything. Like, they're a part of an album, but they're not, like, they are all so separate from each other that of course they'll work as singles.
Yeah. Okay. Excuse me. And again, we've sort of talked about this, how this is like, this is like the album that has been, to me, a little bit more highly processed because it is the solo project that needs to be commercially appealing for radio and stuff like that, to kind of like show his new direction. And I think,
this album
is that. Because you mentioned like it really feels like a lot of singles in place of like a coherent through line. Sure. Like I'll give the next two albums, like, they have through lines to them. Whereas this one does feel a little bit more scattered. I definitely Pray for the Wicked has big through lines. I think I'll stand by that forever.
All right. So, it starts.
I don't think we have the latitude to get into this right now. I think we should not talk about it.
Let me put it this way real quick. I feel the same way.
You get a little.
I'll get a little one in. I feel kind of the same way about that album that I do about, and I'll be the asshole that will name drop it because I know that you hate it, and I'm not going to do it to frustrate you. But like the new Taylor Swift, just all of it. There's 30 fucking songs, and to me, fucking 20 of them, 25 of them all have the same kind of sound to them. And I feel
because Jack Antonoff can't produce a song that sounds different save his fucking life.
He did it fucking once and that's all he kept doing. But like, that's kind of how a lot of Pray for the Wicked feels for me. It's like kind of the same sort of like, it's that checklist that we've talked about before. And like, while the checklist makes an album sound good, I don't know if that inherently to me like means that they all kind of like have this through line, but I mean, we'll get there.
Well, listen, we'll get there. And I disagree with you specifically because I see a story in Pray for the Wicked. I really do. I honestly do.
A story,
I think
there, yes.
I think it is, It is very, it is, but a story, but also I think there is way more coherence. I don't think that Death of a Bachelor as an album is coherent. Absolutely together, not. even if the quality of the song you might be listening to is like high or low or whatever it is. I don't think there is a necessarily, there's like an overarching like vibe, but there's not like a coherent, there's not like a connecting thread to them.
Right.
And I was going to disagree with you because I was just like, it feels like, because you know how like Fever has a breakpoint after intermission where it becomes a little bit more like Baroque and more like swingy than the techno-y like first half. And I was like, no, because after Emperor's New Clothes, you get Death of a Bachelor and it's more like croony like this. And then I realized, actually, you get Death of a Bachelor, you get Crazy Equals Genius, which is way swingier, and then you don't really get that vibe again until Impossible Year.
Right. Right.
So I was going to disagree with that, and then I was like, no, actually, yeah, there's not really like a connective tissue here. It's just kind of, yeah, weird.
Well, I think I said it last episode, you know, like, this is a bunch of different stories. Like, this kind of is an anthology unto itself, which isn't bad. Yeah. Like, you know, I can't wholly shit on this album, right? Because obviously there's songs that we like, but I feel like there's just kind of no through. There's no through line.
Yeah, there's no through. Like I said, it's like a nebulous collection of vibes.
Yeah,
and I think anthology is actually a really good word for it because like even if the songs don't necessarily link up, they are all songs that are telling a story, an individual story of this bachelor.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, we'll get into it next week, and I don't want to interrupt your thought too much. Like, I'll be quick so you can wrap that up. But like, Crazy Equals Genius,
that was it. That was
it. And Golden Days to me, kind of feels like a triplet because they're all semi LA or like West Coast related.
Yeah.
Like there is that.
And like related to like the vapid people.
Yeah. But they are all so sonically different.
Yeah. Very different. Yeah. No, I agree with that. So yeah, I think, like I said, I think it is an anthology album. It's actually a really good like vibe, like word for it.
Sure.
So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad my dumbass can have little blossoms of poetry somewhere.
With that, shut the fuck up. With that being said, should we listen to verse one?
Let's fucking go.
And verse two. Or verse one in the pre-chorus, I should say.
Let's fucking go. Let's go. Do I look lonely? I see the shadows on my face. People have told me I don't look the same. Maybe I lost weight. I'm playing hooky with the best of the best. Put my heart on my chest so that you can see it too. I'm walking the long road, watching the sky fall. The lace in your dress tangles my neck. How do I live?
So you have that thing at the beginning, which is that the fucking
must be the Jadakiss thing.
The Jadakiss sample. That would be my guess, yeah. I wish there was like any type of like, why did you do that? Reasoning for putting just random Jadakiss. I really don't know. I have not heard that song before, I don't think. But yeah, you have that like intro and then it kind of like swells a little bit and then it gets like you get like the word as soon as that little part is over, he starts singing immediately. But the thing that I just really want to highlight, we talked about this briefly, you've got like a doom doom doom, like the bass and like that kind of like breakbeat that's like happening underneath it. With the trumpets and like that sort of like croony, I think that is a excellent like
juxtaposition. Sorry, Dennis. I think the two styles blended together. I think that is a really, really great combination.
It is.
I think it was done in a very tasteful way that really, like, works.
For sure. And that snap, yeah, like, that underlying snap is fun. Like, it's snap. Pretty good.
I see the shadows of... Like, I love a good snap. Like, it just, like, it all blends together very nice. I think it is very, very easy for something like this, and it's, you know, Brandon Urie, the king of restraint, as you know.
Absolutely.
It's very easy for, like, if you're trying to take these two styles to blend them together in a way that feels really weird and discordant and not good. I think it was done in a very tasteful way that works incredibly well and sounds very, very good. So I really, really love the music, and I love the swells, and, like, you got the beat, but you got, like, the trumpets and the brass and all the other stuff that's coming in, especially towards the end of the pre-chorus. But it's just, it's really stellar. It is a stellar backing track. I will stand by that for the rest of my days.
Oh,
great,
definitely.
Great instrumentals. Great instrumentals.
And this is, like, that same kind of Brendan Urie singing that I love. Like, it's that kind of, it's like that sigh-y kind of sound, right? Like, he's not, it's effortless, I think, is maybe the only word that I'll just use. Like, and it's, you know, it just feels effortless. It's not spoken. Mm-hmm. It's soft, though. Like, it feels good.
Yeah. You want to talk about verse one? How does verse one strike you? Because I have this thing where I'm not necessarily sure. Like, it does feel like that victory lap, like you talked about, but I don't know if it's as, like, sweet. I feel like it feels more like melancholy, a little bit more bittersweet, I think, then. Because he kind of mentioned it's like a bittersweet, like thing. But,
like his.
Oh, God, I fucking hate that picture you just sent.
Oh, why, yeah, you're welcome. It was a perfect time to pause that.
Hate that.
Got those DSLs.
I don't know, because I feel like I said, Jesus Christ.
Like, this, does this lead up?
It does.
Like, this is a pre of getting married, is kind of how it seems.
Well, so that's the thing. That might be the case, like, the stress of it all. Like, because the chorus, the chorus, and we'll talk about the chorus in a second. The chorus is very sweet.
Yes.
Like, the chorus is like that triumphant, like, kick. And it is, we'll talk more specifically about, like, how I feel it illustrates that, but beyond the words. But the verses around the chorus are very much like, I don't know, they seem sadder.
A little bit. And, like, that's kind of where I wonder if this is, like, this is the tale of, like, you know, the single man about to find love, I guess. Or, you know, this, I don't know, like, that's, it's always been, you know, yeah, a mystery, because it's hard to fucking tell of what exact standpoint he's trying to take here, or what point of view, because this doesn't seem like the song about a man in love during this verse, and this doesn't seem like the death of a bachelor, but then as it progresses, and, like, you said, verse to verse, it doesn't, but, like, verse, chorus, verse, pre-chorus, chorus, it does, you get that kind of arc, but I don't know. I guess I've always maybe assumed that this was just kind of the dude by himself.
Yeah. Well, because I think like the do I look lonely? I see the shadows on my face. People have told me I don't look the same. Is like perhaps like the stress of leading up to everything.
Sure.
Because like I don't know about you, my brother, but. Just even though we had like a very small, like easy thing, like the lead up to me and Chelsea's wedding was so stressful.
Oh yeah. Oh fuck.
And like it was just, and I think a lot of people that get married and have even the tiniest bit of ceremony, probably feel that. Where it's just like, holy fuck, man! Like this is a lot. People have told me I don't look the same. I think. Here's what I think about the people who told me I don't look the same line. I think he sees that as a negative, where I think that people are telling him that because he like my thought process on it is he's in his head about how everything is changing.
Yes.
And it's kind of stressful and he feels different inside. Maybe I've lost weight. And he's like contemplating like what could be wrong, but people are telling him he doesn't look the same because he looks happy. He looks ready to embark on this new journey. And sure. I think he's conflating that with something completely different. I think that's where that is coming from. That's just my read on it, though. That's how I feel it.
I like that. And I feel like that's probably the best because of course the last line of this being pull my heart out my chest so you can see it too. Like obviously the outside is not reflecting the inside. So I think we maybe just solved this, right? Like everything that you just said with this last line, like this is the guy that's just fucking bedridden, stressed, and can't fucking think or focus. But, you know, all the feelings are in the right place.
Yeah, he's just stressed out about it. And I do like because people have told me I don't look the same, and he's now contemplating like what could be wrong with me that people are telling me this, talking about, well, maybe I've lost weight. And I'm playing hooky invokes a sickness, but he's playing hooky with the best of the best being this partner, with this person that he's going to spend the rest of his life with. So he is spending the time with this person. And again, you brought up the pull my heart on my chest that you can see this is how I'm actually feeling. I'm freaking out.
Yeah. Well, and like, you know, you said it, like small wedding, big wedding, everything is fucking planning. So like maybe I lost weight and I'm playing hooky. Like we are planning. We don't have time to stop for anything but getting this fucking wedding, you know, off the fucking ground. And what, like, you're not going to eat lunch because you have to go try cake, right? Like you have to go do something.
Yeah.
Do this other thing to prevent you from doing kind of like the simple functions of life because you're so fucking focused. So yeah, I think like fuck, we just untied this whole verse here.
We did it.
Wow. Look at us doing what we do in this podcast.
Yeah. Do you know what I love about the pre-chorus is the callback?
Yeah.
I was fine, just a guy living on my own, just waiting for the sky to fall. Yep. Then you called and changed it all. Now he's walking the long road, watching the sky fall. Yes. The sky has fallen. He is with this person. And now the lace in your dress tangles my neck. He is here.
Yeah.
How do I live? It is with you.
Oof. I love it.
I love a good callback. Also, that is wonderful. I that has to be intentional, right?
It's gotta be.
The watching the sky fall versus waiting for the sky to fall. That has to be like a on purpose thing.
Right. Yeah. Like this, it would feel, let me say this, like it would feel not that if it wasn't from the song that it was or about the person that it was. Like if,
true.
If his wife was a different woman, it would be a different line, I think.
Yeah.
But maybe he's also just a James Bond fan. Who knows?
Maybe.
Or Chicken Little.
I feel bad about how I am definitely going to edge you with the way that the verse cuts off.
God.
Because the way that how do I live tie like leads into the chorus and the way that the music swells and like builds up to the punchiness of the chorus. This is going back to that, like the chiller vibes of the verse and then the chorus punches you in the face.
Yeah.
But like it does it in that same like kind of like. It's still relaxed. Like it is still like it's more instrument. It's more powerful. It's louder, but it doesn't feel stressful. Like it doesn't feel like it feels like laying into a groove, which is great because this is the chorus. So
like this,
should we listen to the chorus
before we
talk too far?
Yeah, this is the romantic comedy, like to lead into this moment that you're about to cause. Like this is the romantic comedy where the person is like the camera is focused and zoomed in on them as they're falling into bed, and then it transitions to something else entirely.
Yeah. So let's hear the chorus and then we'll talk about the chorus.
Stack it.
The
Listen, we got some uh-ohs. We got some uh-ohs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we do.
Oh.
Oh. Back in a big way, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, 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 letting the water fall. Oh, oh, oh.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Uh-oh. Love that. It's what we're here for. That's why we love this. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you get a high-pitched ooh as well. Like, he's just going all in. He fucking... This is Brendan Urie doing Brendan Urie. Like, I love it. This is one reason why I fucking highly enjoy this song. This is just this man fucking doing what he loves to do.
Yeah.
Which I understand I'm going to fucking sound stupid saying compared to last week when, of course, he's just doing what he wants to do. But, like... This, to me, this voice is perfect. Like this, if the rest of this fucking band would have been this, I would have never shed a tear. I haven't shed a tear, but like I would have never felt maybe the way that I do about some choices that have been made.
Yeah. Death of a Bachelor, letting the waterfall, is that crying?
Yeah.
Because who doesn't cry at their
wedding? Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Seems so fitting for Happily Ever After. How could I ask for more? A lifetime of laughter at the expense of the death of a bachelor.
Yes. So good.
It's a simple, concise, very, very beautiful chorus. I think that it is a wonderful chorus. Yeah. It's an incredible sentiment. It is kind of this perfect transition point. And it's just like, it feels like coming right after the first verse in the pre-chorus. It's like, because the how do I live, it builds and builds, and then the chorus also feels like a release where it's just like, oh, this was all worth that.
Yeah. It feels good.
Everything here was worth everything there.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like how it builds into the chorus, which I really love.
You know, and God, Jesus, I did it again. For being the guy that made fun of Brendan Urie's, you know, and did the fucking Christopher Walken voice, I've noticed myself saying a lot more. And it's not deliberate, of course. You know, just do it. I've mentioned it on here before. Like, of course, you know, people cry at their weddings. Like you said, like you could be the, unless you're the fucking toughest man that could ever be a man. Like you probably didn't, but I'd hope you did. you got emotions, man. Just let them out. Whenever Carrie was walking down the aisle. Had the, you know, I think I've said this on here, and I'm going to say it just because I've told a lot of the stories here before, right? Like, I've told a lot of these stories in context, and I think I've ran through them, not in the bad way, but like in the sense that this album wasn't out when we got married. And like I said, this song came out at the end of the year, so cool timing. But I had that kind of laughing little, that little sobbing chuckle that you do, right? Mm-hmm. Whenever Carrie is walking down the aisle, and it's kind of one of the few moments that her sister actually like clung to and has mentioned in the past. So it's like, it felt like that. And obviously people saw it. So, you know, it's real, but
yeah,
I mean, I think that was a good encapsulation of that moment where it's just like, holy shit. I'm marrying you. You look like this. You're coming to me. So on and so forth. Like that felt like the only way to kind of get through that without busting down like a little crybaby bitch was to kind of laugh through it, because kind of with that, it's like, get it together. This is your moment of just kind of getting this off your chest and exposing yourself. But it's, you know, you let's get down to business to defeat the Huns. So.
Jesus. So are you ready for personal time?
Hell yeah.
We haven't done none of these in a while. Were you, I can't remember, were you on the Zoom call for my wedding?
Yep.
I can't remember. Yeah, you were. That's right. So as you know, as somebody that watched my wedding, I was crying like a baby.
Yeah.
When I was like reading my vows and when I saw Chelsea and all this other stuff, like I was there. I don't know it like, and I'm looking back at verse one now and being like, okay, actually I do kind of get it, because I was thinking about a lot of stuff and I was very stressed out about a lot of stuff, like going into the wedding, and there was a lot going on. One of the things, and it's a small thing, and I don't know why I was worried about it, but one of the things that I was worried about, and I don't know if you felt this either,
was like, what if I don't cry?
Right. Yeah.
I was so, so, so fucking worried about that for like months before it all happened. And obviously you get there and you're filled with these emotions and you're filled with these. It's the same thing as the verse chorus where it's just like, I'm so stressed out about all this stuff, but now we're here and everything feels correct.
Yes.
But like, I'm like, I was like, for some reason, like for the, for like months, like 4 months before the wedding, I was just like, I feel like, what if I don't cry and it's embarrassing? And then she doesn't think that I like care or that,
yeah,
you know, I have like emotions or whatever. And then of course you get to the wedding and you're just like, oh my God. But like, yeah, that was a really like personal, like stress moment. I actually talked to Alessio about that where he was like, I felt the same way. And it's always like a deep seated thing that comes out in the wash. Like it's one of those things.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, like, and no offense to you or I, like, we're not the pinnacle of machismo by any means. So, like, you know, like, and I'm sure there are dudes that don't do that. And to me, like, you know, it is kind of weird. Like, this is supposed to be the happiest day of your life, they say, and like, you're kind of just stoic through it. Like, that sounds fucking weird. And yeah, like, it is a moment that you kind of feel like, and it's strange to say that like crying is the way that you have to express your emotions, right? Like that seems weird. But you also know that like it's such a release. Yes.
Yeah. It's such a release. It's one of those things where it's just like the way that emotions can surge out can appear in many different ways. Yeah. There's crying, there's anger, there's all kinds of stuff. And I think when you're happy,
and you know it?
Like, I feel like,
thank you.
You're welcome. I don't know. I just think like crying, like, I just think like it's good to me that more people are accepting that crying is an okay response.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, I think the day, I don't think, like, I know the wedding day for us was just stressful, like making it happen, getting people there, getting food, found out we could do alcohol, bought alcohol, like all of these things. And then I've mentioned on here before, like the power outage. And that was a moment, like that was the fucking TLC live TV show moment of can this wedding happen? And you're like, will we be getting married today, or is our fucking like wedding day fucked due to weather? So I think like that moment standing on the platform with her walking down the aisle is like a victory lap, two stances of I get to marry this woman and this day fucking worked. Like it might not have gone 100% to expectation and things happened, but this day fucking found its way to like correct itself for us to do this.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and, I mean, like you said, you know, you can manifest things in anger, and I hope there's no man out there that's so full of, excuse me, happy emotion on his wedding day that he's like, fuck you, fiance, if she's walking down the aisle or anything like that. Don't do the anger thing. Like, just kind of let it out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, crying, and this isn't going to be a controversial statement while still being one, like crying doesn't make you a little bitch. Like crying doesn't make you less.
No.
Crying doesn't make you anything other than just a big ball of emotion. And there is absolutely fucking nothing wrong with that. Like, don't, you can't shove everything into a jar and stand in a glass case and just hope that you can contain everything. Like, it's sooner or later, it's going to come out. And I think maybe if crying, like, dare I say, has to be, not dare I say, like, for some people who, you know, see it as the worst, like, yes, dare I say, like, you got to fucking let it out. Like, you just got to fucking do it. Otherwise, the chances of those emotions just flipping on themselves and fucking turning to the other side of the court, like, coin of negativity, like you're just gonna fuck yourself over in the end. So just ball, baby, ball. We ball, fuck it.
Just fuck it. We go. We ball.
We ball.
Okay. Cool.
Fun.
Verse 2.
Verse fucking 2. Cutting my mind off.
feels like my heart is going to burst. Alone at a table for two, and I just wanna be served. And when you think of me, am I the best you've ever had? Share one more drink with me, smile even though you're sad. I'm walking the long road, watching the sky fall. The lace in your dress tangles my neck. How do I live the death of a bachelor?
Sorry, I thought I was going to sneeze, and I was just like, hello.
Got it.
But yeah, we get verse two here, and it's going back to, it starts off with, I'm cutting my mind off, feels like my heart is going to burst, which ties back into verse one, where it's just like, I'm thinking about all this stuff, I'm stressed about all of this stuff, I can't think about it anymore.
Right.
I can't.
Yeah.
And this is the insecurities part of the story, I think.
Oh, 100%.
And when you, yeah, alone at the table for two, and I just want to be served. I just want to have my moment. When you think of me, am I the best you've ever had? That is such a very oh, what if I'm not the best? Like, what if I'm not this person's like best of the best? Yeah. Like, it's. Yeah, it's this whole thing. Which again, like, maybe am I the best you've ever had? And then in the verse one, he talks about how he's playing hooky with the best of the best. So he's like, you're the best I've ever had. Am I the best you've ever had? Right. It's like this, like, and then it's like he's projecting the sadness onto this person, where it's like, share one more drink with me, smile even though you're sad. Like,
yeah.
Is this, what are you feeling here?
Is this, because it's the like, moment?
Yeah, is this the moment where it's just like, are you sad? I'm a little sad because, like, I'm thinking about the life that I used to have and how it's not here anymore. But, like, have another drink, be with me,
yeah.
type of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I...
Big time insecurity portion.
Oh, hell yeah. And, like, you know, we've all done this second line here, you know, the alone at the table for two and I just want to be served. Like, you kind of don't feel seen. If you're alone, mm-hmm. like in some regard, yeah, like you, yeah. And I think that's kind of where a lot of the awkwardness comes from. Like, you know, if you were to just go out for lunch by yourself or whatever and go to a movie by yourself, like, you know that you stand out and you know that you're seen, but part of you doesn't feel like you'll be treated the same or served. Like, you know, you just feel irrelevant. I feel like there's a relief, strangely, like when you do get to have those dinners with your spouse or your partner, where like, it's like, this feels right. This feels normal. This is a day. This is a life. Like, I feel like this is how things should be. And when there's a little change in that, and a little change in that schedule or whatever, like, you're like, fuck, it's just me. What am I going to do? Will they help? Will somebody be there? So, I love that, you know, and when you think, am I the best you ever had? Because everything that you said, like, everybody has that question leading into it. Am I truly the one that you want to spend mm-hmm. the rest of your life with? Like, maybe fucking Jack down the street can do everything and can repair sinks and buys flowers every day and so on and so forth. Like, why not him, you know? But it's, you know, it's me that you chose. So, you know, and I think, like, I guess I'm going to speak personally, like, and it comes off of a person that has a parent, and I mean, two parents that have divorced so many times that, like, you don't ever want to let that happen. And I'm going to find a way to make this, like, this isn't my walking every day. I'm not walking on the eggshells, as the statement will sound. But, like, as a person who saw love fail so many times, like, that's a fear. And it's like, I'm here. I'm doing all of the things, but I've seen this fail before. And I've seen it fail again and again and you know, let that not be this. Cat wants to escape.
I don't like. I have like the same general experience too, where it's just like, obviously we're both in our first and hopefully only marriages, right? But like, that's the idea, you know, when you go into it. But like, I am a product of divorce. My stepmom is, she's wonderful, and I'm glad that my dad now has her, and it's, that's a long, strong marriage. But like, she is my dad's fourth wife.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I, like I've seen it. And then my mom is whatever, in whatever chaos land she's off. I don't even know what she's doing, but, you see it, in front of you. And I think there is a very strong desire to make sure you don't repeat the cycles.
Yeah.
And that's, there's always that like fear of just like, am I doing it right?
Right.
It's like lingering, like a little small like voice in there. Like, am I doing it right? Am I okay? Are we okay? Is everything okay? Especially when you come from that kind of like environment. And so it's the stress of like thinking. And I think we've all felt this, like this, we've all, you know, if you've gone into like a marriage, if you've been married, we've all probably felt this idea of just like, am I good enough? Am I the one that this person, actually wants, and like all this stuff. And I think that's an inevitable thought. And so I think this is what that is highlighting.
Yeah. Like my, excuse me, like my mother is on her sixth marriage. And then, you know, my dad got, you know, married to my mother, divorced, married my stepmom for a while, got divorced, dated off and on, had a couple of serious relationships. And now he has a kid with somebody that he's not married to and I've never met. And I don't know that dynamic. Like, I know that he takes my brother, little asshole. Like, they obviously do things and all that. So obviously something worked there. But for me, and a person who has asked, I still don't understand. Like, I don't understand the dynamic. I don't understand the story. I don't understand if this was a thing. So, you know, to kind of look at, it's a fucking weird word to use in this instance, but like, to look at the patriarch of the family that I have that's already broken, obviously, several times, like, what a strange influence, right? To kind of like look at this kind of, you know, the male side of love in my life. Like, my stepdad and I never fully got, my current stepdad and I never fully got along. I, you know, obviously now we're just kind of at an impasse that they've now been married for 17-ish years. So that's cool. But, you know, a lot of that has been obviously me not living with them. So I don't know what that looks like. Right. And it sounds okay, but I still kind of hear the things that I saw when I was in the house. So I think like my impressions of these are so weird that like this feeling isn't, it's not justified, of course, but it feels like it's always just going to be there because I've never seen this work. And no matter the fact that, you know, my wife and I have been together for fucking 12 years. It's just like, what the fuck? Like, sooner or later, something will give. And like, I'm not,
which, like, you know, in like your normal, like, conscious mind that's not
right, real. Right.
But it's that like lingering thing that you always let that like in the back of your head when you are a product of a universe of failure in that respect, that it's just like, but what if, you know? But like, you know, and you're confident in your relationship, obviously, and so you know that's not real, but like we're baffled by things that aren't real all the time as a human,
right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, Universe of Failure is the name of my band. But yeah, like, it's, I mean, and that's probably just marriage, right? That's just a relationship.
Yeah.
That's
like, yeah.
And I feel like we've talked about this like here before. Like, there's enough pop culture and media out there that's going to spoon feed you why things never work. And of course, that's for the sense of drama. And what none of us want in our real life is that drama.
But in one way or another, like, that's the impression that the world wants to give you, that life is a constant cycle of things happening and going wrong, when it really isn't. Like, there's minor inconveniences, you know, like, things happen, but they're not life or fucking death, and you're not going to go separate yourself for 20 days and go live with your fucking parents because that's what this moment of drama calls for.
Well, there's also, like, that paradox, too, right, where it's like, to use the experiences example, it's just you're more likely to remember a negative experience and talk about negative experience because they stick out so much stronger with your emotions than just a normal everyday or a good experience does, because you have more of the good and the normal experiences. So when you have a negative experience, it sticks out as memorable because it's so abnormal. And so I think it works in the same way with something like a relationship, where it's just like 90%, if not more, of a relationship are those normal moments and those good moments and those really great moments, where you have those, like, smaller moments that are those, you know, those arguments or those moments of anger, those moments of annoyance that you have, that people have, because you're human.
Yeah.
That stick out as memorable because of how infrequent and because of how, you know, specific they are. So I think that's sort of, that's a normal thing.
For sure. Yeah. 100%. God, what a fucking feeling to be a
man. What a fucking feeling to be a human.
Just a flab of jelly of feeling, with a brain.
Yeah. Speaking of feeling human, this is a fucking awful transition. Do you want to talk about it? Let's talk about it. Right?
Oh, God.
We've got to talk about it.
We got to talk about it.
So we're going to play the quote bridge, and then I'm going to play the rest of the song because we can talk about the bridge, and then the last chorus, because the last chorus does some different stuff. So we'll talk about both of those right after this. The death of a bachelor. Here is the reason why I don't think this song completely lives up to its potential. What the fuck is this bridge?
I don't know.
It's like weird, like this weird, like, lean with it, rock with it breakdown.
Yeah.
Because you've got the band, you've got the swing in the background, and then you've got this, like,
it's, yeah, like, 100%. This little ringtone,
I don't like
essentially.
It. Yeah, this, like, this fucking, like, this is the beginning of Hurricane for some reason. Like, I don't know. Like, I just don't get, I just, like, again, I mentioned this sort of up at the top. If this song had just, like, a really great bridge.
Sure.
That pulls you through that, those two choruses.
Yeah.
So you've got, we talked about verse two. You've got the pre-chorus, and I love how he sang. I forgot to mention, like, how he, like, he changes up how he sang the pre-chorus a little bit, the second pre-chorus, into the chorus. So now you've got another chorus, Death of a Bachelor, which is, again, great chorus. Then you need something that's going to loop you from that chorus to the final chorus. And it's not this. If there was, like, some words there and they were punchy and really, like, thoughtful, like the rest of the song is.
Yeah.
This song would probably be in my, like, top 10. This would be, like, one of the perfect Panic songs to me.
Sure.
Because it is such a great song. It vibes really hard.
For sure.
And it's just, like I said, the combination of the electronic stuff and the croony stuff and the brass and all that, all those converging together in that very tasteful way, and the lyrics and the very relatable verses and the very beautiful chorus, I think all tie together. It's such a great package that it needed just that little push, and it could have been one of the very best Panic at the Disco songs. But yes. I think because it decides to use whatever the fuck this is, just kind of like, it's like, it's going, it's like that scene in Toy Story,
right?
Where Woody is trying to get to the window.
Yeah.
And he looks like he's going to make it. And then he just barely misses the window. And oh no, it's Buzz. He just barely misses the window and his arm falls off. And then he becomes Mrs. Nesbitt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like this is that moment where it's just like, okay, there's this triumph. We're here. What's next? And then he falls and his arm pops off.
Right.
That's what this feels like to me. It's just like, man, it could have been so much more special.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get there because of this.
Yeah. We could have had something. And I would have never had this thought had we not talked about several of these other songs so far on this album. But this seems to be the album of the disjointed bridge.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
yeah. They just kind of come out of nowhere.
A lot of the songs don't know what they're have doing. Moments like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, even looking at last week, where like it kind of fits thematically and he's fucking stacking, but this one doesn't do anything. Like, this doesn't elevate the song. This doesn't make a difference in a good way, at least. Kind of like, you know, the thought that I had earlier was, even on the live album, Brendan Urie doesn't know what to do here. And that's why he kind of like, funnily like he shouts that show me, like he does the show me what you got from the fucking episode of Rick and Morty, like where they're on the live TV shows, like that it's, was his solution to this. It's so strange that nowhere,
and it could have just been like a really like subtle thoughtful bridge, and it just isn't. It's just like this weird instrumental. And I think the thing that really like bugs me about it too is that like I really love the brass.
Yeah.
Like the sweet, but I think like the, I don't like how, I don't like, this is like what I talked about, and I complimented how tasteful the combination of those two genres was for the entire song. It goes off the fucking cliff here, where it's just like, what is happening?
Like this really,
the brass sounds really good and it does not work with like the electronic part. And I just like, I don't, it's very weird and discordant, and it just makes it worse. And it's like, if this was just like, I don't know. I feel like what I feel would have worked really well here. And like, I'm not like super musically inclined, so forgive me if I'm like not projecting a proper like thought here. But I think what would have really, really worked here, because this is like Death of a Bachelor, and so you're going from that like electronic, like here's too weird to live, you're going from that like electronic into like this more croony era vibe type thing. I think what would have been great is if for the bridge you just completely lose the electronic and it's all brass and it's all swing and it's all croony, and then at the end of the bridge it transitions back into the chorus where it has the electronic come back in. And I think it could have been this like triumphant statement
for sure,
using just the new era to communicate how happy he is now, potentially, versus how he was.
Right.
And then it could have gone back into the chorus. And I think that would have been really great. There's a thought in there. Somebody could probably make that more complete, but I think that would have been really good.
Sure.
And I'm just very let down by how the bridge goes here.
Yeah. I think you could have just left this out and looped the chorus twice. Like Panic at the Disco has done that and they will continue to do that. Like you can close your song like
Well, that's the thing here. Even then it's like, I think that would have felt better, but I also still feel like I would have felt like something was missing.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
A little void. Yeah.
Like I think I would have rather had like that, huh, I wonder what could have been there, as opposed to knowing what is there and being disappointed by that. So I think, I think if you had a choice, just looping the chorus would have been a better option than doing nothing.
Right.
Basically. But I think regardless, like something feels missing in the song without like this, that like punchy bridge.
Yeah. So. He should have just stacked it again.
But should have just stacked on himself. That's how you solve every problem. But the chorus, the last chorus, and I've played it so you could have, you heard like everything. The way he changes how he sings everything. Letting the water fall. That how he changes that. And then the how could I ask for more?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The pitch. It's there. We talked about Ground Zero last week.
Yeah.
It carries over. It's in this song, too. It's not as long. It's a little bit more quick, but it's there.
Yes.
Like, it's there. It's there. Holy shit.
Well, and like, while it's there, it feels so different. Like, this just feels like pure happiness. Like, this is the...
No, it feels good.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's bad.
Right.
Here.
Right, right.
But what I am saying is, last week we talked about how Emperor's New Clothes was like the starting point for him doing this like high-pitched over-singing thing.
Yes.
And here it is again. Yep. It is continuing. Yep. So there, even though it does sound, it fits and it sounds good, it is here.
Yes.
And it is staying.
For sure.
Good fucking luck. I also like how like the music cuts off, like where he sings at the expense of the death of a bachelor, dun, 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 like the way that it trails off at the end. I like that. Good song, let down by its bridge.
Yeah,
but yeah, this is a good song.
Yeah, this is good Panic at the Disco right here. I feel like truly. You know, and I mean, it's just take that out.
There's a song. There's a comment on Genius here from 6 years ago. Hey, emos.
Hey.
It's just H-E-K with 2 Y. Hey, emos.
Well, you know.
The beat is fucking, fucking litty. Four fire emojis. But yeah, that is Death of a Bachelor. We talked about the title track. It is done.
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to talk about Crazy equals Genius, which I think you have thoughts about.
I do have thoughts about.
Is this going to be a polarizing one?
It might be.
I have thoughts about it, too.
Without fully giving it away, I think Crazy equals Genius is one of those songs that it just depends on the day for me.
Sure.
And I like there's one more like that on here that it just really depends on my mood. And if it's a bad mood or even just any irregular mood, fuck that. So we'll see how I feel next time.
So before I am going to give a light spoiler. I'll give a light spoiler for how I'm not going to say how I feel about it.
Yeah.
But I will say, the vibe of Crazy equals Genius reminds me of the song Sing, Sing, Sing by Benny Goodman and his orchestra.
Sure.
Which is the song that they use for the Chips Ahoy commercials for much of the 90s.
Nice.
Yep. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Man. Chips Ahoy song. So next week we're going to talk about the Chips Ahoy song, and I hope you're fucking ready.
Fuck.
You need to say it.
Love you. Bye.